for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, June the 30th, 1996. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the minister of the evening.
Praise the Lord. Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for the anointing, the presence of God. We thank you for this night. Thank you for the word, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, to share with your people. Open our hearts, Father. Without you, we're nothing. We can do nothing apart from you. We trust in your authority. We trust in your spirit. He's the teacher. Teach through us tonight, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. We all said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. May the Lord bless you. Hallelujah. How many believe Jesus is coming?
Amen.
Praise God. Are we looking for his coming?
Amen.
Amen. Good. Okay. We're going to check on some things here in just a minute. How many know there wasn't very many expecting Jesus to come the first time? How many know that there were just a few? Elizabeth knew about it. Mary, Zechariah, Simeon, Anna, John, wise men, not too many. I mean, they were expecting Jesus to come a different way than the way he came. Isn't that right? Praise God. How many know it might be different in our time? Amen. Uh-huh. We don't have all the answers yet. How many know there's a lot more answers we need yet? Amen. And as we're growing, mature in the Lord, he's going to give us answers. I do believe that with all my heart. And I believe that. This message is very dear to me. Even from a child, I believe God put it in my heart. I didn't choose this type of teaching or ministry. The Lord chose it for me. And how many know that each one of us have a place in the body of Christ? Whether we're behind the pulpit or in the pew, wherever we all have a place in the great body of Christ. Amen? Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 9 and start there tonight. May the Lord bless you as we go into the Word. Chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews. Here in chapter 9, he talks about the appearings of the Lord. Praise God. Look in verse 24, and the scripture says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now, present tense, to appear in the presence of God for who, brethren? Come on. For us. Aren't you glad he's there tonight? Interceding. Praise God. For you and for me. Amen? He is our high priest. Then look in verse 26. Here he is, the prophet, Jesus. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world. I want you to notice that phrase. The end of the world hath he appeared to put away what? Come on. Sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's the prophet. Jesus our Lord. Amen? The prophet of God who came and died. Then in verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of how many? Come on. Many. That includes you and me. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. How many know he appeared the first time? He will appear the second time. Can you say amen? Without sin unto salvation. That's full salvation. Let me know there's common salvation the Bible talks about. There is great salvation and there's eternal salvation. You have a 30, 60, 100 fold. Let me believe that we've been saved in our spirits. He's now desiring to save our souls. Amen?
Amen.
And then, of course, our body shall be redeemed by the Lord. Praise God. So we have the prophet Jesus came and died. We have our high priest is appearing before the Lord even now. And then, of course, he will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise God. The book of Revelation says concerning Jesus, which is, which was, and which is to come. Past, present, and future. Can you say amen? Now look in Philippians 3. Look in Philippians 3. Look at chapter 3, verse 20. 3:20 of Philippians. And Paul says these words, for our manner of life, our conversation, is in heaven. Our literally should be our citizenship is in heaven. From whence also we look. Notice, we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, the body of our humiliation, our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. Praise God. But notice the phrase there. Looking, we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go over to Matthew 24. We're going to see before Jesus comes, there will be those that will be turning from the Lord. How many know the Bible teaches two things? It teaches an apostasy, and the Bible teaches an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. How many believe that? There is an apostasy already. I see it in Christians already. How many know it's easy to get cold? Yeah. Huh? Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound or be multiplied, many shall wax cold. They were once hot. Amen? And now he said they'll be cold. So we don't want that to happen. Amen? Amen. And now apostasy can happen two ways. There are those who can turn. And who do turn from Jesus? They're seduced from Jesus. They're deceived from Jesus to something else. And then there are those who know that God wants more of them and they will not press on. They want to stop. And how many know it's dangerous to stop anywhere? We got to keep moving towards the Lord. Isn't that right? You remember what it said of the 144,000? We read it last night. They follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And to follow the Lamb, it takes a cross. And we got to be led of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus went to the cross, and then he went to the Holy of Holies. Amen? How many believe there's a people going towards the Holy of Holies, but not without a cross? Can you say amen? What is your cross? It's where you and I lay our wills down to do his will. Amen? Not my will, Lord, but come on. Thy will be done. Praise the Lord. All right, Matthew 24, are you there? Okay, good, I'm not. All right, Matthew 24, look in verse 45. Now, Jesus said this would happen right before his appearing. Who then is a faithful and a wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household? And we know as leaders in the body of Christ, we're there because the Lord has put us there. We're not there because we're good. Come on. Amen or special. Amen. It's the Lord that makes us ruler. Can you say amen? And notice why the rulers are there over the household. To give them meat in due season. But you go in most churches and you don't get too much meat. Come on, you get a lot of milk, isn't that right? Milk's all right for a period of time, isn't it? But how many know it's time to throw the bottle away, jump out of the baby bed, and come on, start eating a steak, isn't it? Can anybody say amen? Amen. Amen. Now, it says to give them meat in what? Due season. There's a due season for meat. How many know there's meat and there's strong meat? Amen? Now, verse 46, blessed is that servant. Now, if that servant is faithful and wise, giving out the word of God to the people of God, the Bible said here that he's going to be blessed. Isn't that right? He's going to be blessed when the Lord comes. I want you to notice that. When the Lord comes. Hallelujah. How many know that's the day of the Lord? Well, somebody said, I'm going over yonder and get my reward. Well, Jesus said, I'm coming and bringing the reward with him. You ever seen that in Revelation 22? How many's ever seen that? Turn over there. Let's look at it. Somebody's looking at me fuzzy. Revelation 22. Hallelujah. Look in Revelation 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is where? He, notice, to give every man according as his work shall be. Notice, I come quickly, my reward is with me. He's bringing that reward with him. Praise God. All right. Now, back in Matthew 24. Now, look at verse 47. Verily, I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. That is the wise and the faithful. But look at verse 48. Something changes here. The first thing I want to bring out is he lost his expectancy. Somebody lost the expectancy of the coming of the Lord. And how many know you can get so hard? Huh? You forget all about Jesus is coming again. Let's look at this verse. And if that evil servant, no longer a wise and faithful servant, but an evil servant shall say where? In his heart, my Lord delayeth, come on, His coming. So he's lost that expectancy. He's lost the imminent coming of the Lord. And I'll tell you something else I see here. He's not in the Spirit, because when you're in the Spirit, how many know Jesus' coming is imminent? You say, how do you know? Because when you read the prophets as well as those in the New Testament, they always said the day of the Lord was nigh at hand, and yet it has not happened. But in the Spirit to them, it was very nigh and very close. And when we're in the Spirit, come on, it's nigh. But when we're not in the Spirit, well, it may be 200 years. Come on, amen. And some don't even believe in it. And some don't even want it to happen. Come on, amen. But how many know it will happen? Jesus will come. So, he's lost his expectancy. He's no longer in the Spirit. And if he's no longer in the Spirit, how many know he's not doing God's people right? How many know you will not do God's people right if you're not in the Spirit? When you're in the carnal, in the flesh, you'll do all kind of things. Isn't that right? Might take up 7 offerings in one meeting. Come on, you shouldn't. Hey, who can hear that? Guy down in Oklahoma did it one time. Now, if the Spirit directed, that's fine. But I ain't never heard him tell me to take up 7 offerings. I'm sorry. Praise God. I said if the Spirit directed, but he never told me yet. And if he does it, that's fine. I'm not against it. But if I do it, I'm against it. Come on now. Don't shout me down. Now, this guy is not only out of the Spirit, and not only is he not looking for the coming of the Lord, but something else happens here. Look in verse 49. It says here, he shall begin to smite. Now, that don't mean just hit him with the fist. How many know there's a place in preaching that you can beat people, come on, and not lift them up? Who just heard that? There's a place where you can be beaten, come on, down, and not be lifted up. Listen, I don't want to preach at you, come on. I want to minister to you, but I want you to be lifted up in the Lord through this word. Hallelujah. There's a difference. But if that evil servant, notice here, verse 49, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunken. Now, here's what I see here. He is a beater, no longer a feeder. You hear that? He's a beater, no longer a feeder. Once he was a feeder, and he wasn't a beater. Now he's a beater, and he's not feeding the sheep. Or said another way, he's a smiter and a fighter. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I believe God's raising up the overcomers. But no fighter will be in the overcomer. No fighter in the natural will be in the overcomer. I mean, we've got to fight with the enemy, but not with one another. If we are a fighter and a troublemaker, come on, and we don't bring peace where we go and minister, we're a fighter. And we'll not be in that overcoming company. Because the people that will be in that company will have come into his image and likeness, and they'll be like Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Amen. I want to be in it, don't you? How many know God wants to take the wrong kind of fight out of us and put the right kind in? Amen? Hallelujah. All right, good. Now, notice something else here. By the way, where it says here he smites his fellow servants, you know what that means? It means he wounds the conscience. He wounds the people of God. Instead of healing the people and their bruises by the power of the Lord, he begins to put wounds upon them and in them. Amen? How many has ever been hurt by a minister? Raise your hand right now. All of us. How many know we've got to forgive them? Come on. And release them? We cannot hold a grudge. We have to forgive them. But let us learn a lesson and let us not hurt others ourselves. Amen? Praise God. Then he said here, notice, he said in verse 49, also that he shall begin to eat and drink with the drunken, which means he's going to run with the wrong crowd. Now look back up here in verse 37. Let's see what crowd it is he's running with. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until Noah entered out of the ark. So he begins to run with those who eat and drink. And, of course, he begins to smite the people of God. He loses expectancy for the coming of Jesus. Let me say it another way. This man now is ruling in force and cruelty. He's a dominator. He is an intimidator. He's no longer ministering, come on, the love of God. Amen? How many know that's dangerous? And yet the Scripture says that would happen, brethren, right before the Lord would come. Can you say amen? Now, let's go over here just a minute.
And let's go to the New Testament. Go to Revelation, where we're at. Go to, we're in Matthew, but go to Revelation 1. Now, how many know that John saw the coming of the Lord? And this coming of the Lord is where first? Come on. First, it's in you and in me. Now, I know preachers don't see that, but I'm sorry that they don't. But Jesus must come in us. We have not come to the fullness yet. Hallelujah. We have been forgiven. We have been filled. But there's a fullness yet that we must attain to as a body. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so John in Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 10, notice what it says. I was in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit. Praise God. When? On. That word on means in. In the Lord's day. He was there in the day of the Lord. And he heard the trumpet. He heard the voice of God. And then in chapter 4, he says the very same thing. Now, a lot of times in chapter 4, how many know people preach that's the rapture? How many have ever been preached that to? Chapter 4 is the rapture. I want to tell you, it is not the physical rapture, but it is a spiritual catching up to the throne. John is a picture of the man-child. As he hears that trumpet and he sees a door in hope in heaven, how many know there's only one door? His name's Jesus. And he went through that door, didn't he? Right to the very throne of God. And God is going to raise up and is raising up. Come on, in the process now of raising up these overcomers. And he's going to catch him to the throne as John was caught to the throne. Somebody hear the trumpet. Amen.
Yeah, thank God.
Hallelujah. Now the devil is killing the babies across not only America but the world. He wants to stop the man-child people. How many know in Jesus' day and Moses' day, the devil wanted to kill every baby and stop the deliverer coming. His first Jesus. And then, of course, Moses. And now it is the overcomers.
Yeah.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But how many know that the devil cannot and will not stop this people we're talking about? And this people, again, it is not going to be a prideful thing and say, oh, look at me, I'm going to the throne. It is a humble people. It is a people full of love. It is a people walking in the Spirit. It is a people obeying Jesus. Come on. It is a people walking with their God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How many want to walk with God tonight? I mean, Enoch walked with the Lord. Amen. He was. Now, for God took him. Well, God's going to catch somebody else up, just like Paul and John. And so John is a prophet, yet is an apostle. And he was projected into this day of the Lord. He said, the time, look in verse 1 there. He said, notice. He said, which must surely come to pass. Hallelujah. This revelation that he received from the Lord. Amen. It must surely come to pass. And then in verse 3, the latter part of verse 3, for the time is at hand. John said all that. He was in the Spirit. And how many know in the Spirit you'll say a lot of things you won't understand? Come on now, don't shut me down. There's a lot of things you'll say that you don't understand when you're in the Spirit. Isn't that right? And so the day of the Lord is coming. Now, tell me one thing I said last night that would happen in the day of the Lord. Who can tell me? One thing that I said last night. Anybody? I said three things would happen. I just gave you three things in the day of the Lord last night. What was one of them? Jesus coming. All right. Somebody else? The resurrection will start. Now, our problem is we've seen the teaching where Jesus comes, catches us up in the air. We go back to heaven for 7 years and come back at the end of the tribulation. But how many know when you examine that teaching, it is not true? Now, let's go to Thessalonians again. Let's go back over there. The way it's been projected. Now, Jesus is coming, isn't it? But the time frame is what's important. And we've missed it on the time frame, I believe. 1 Thessalonians 4. All right. Look in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. I should read a lot more verses, but I won't. With a shout, with a voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? In the air. How many know that word air throws a lot of people? The word air means environment. It means that which is below the mountains. And I'm breathing some of that stuff right here. How about you? And Satan is a prince of the power, come on, of the air. Now, if you take that all in the natural, if you go to the moon, you're going to take some air with you, aren't you? Come on, you're going to take the devil with you. A lot of people taking him anyway. Regardless. Somewhere. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? In the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And we stop there. But what's chapter 5 dealing with? Come on. Chapter 5, we're still on the same subject. Listen, in the Greek, there is no chapter division. Come on. There is no punctuation. So let's keep reading. Let's don't stop. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need I write to you. For yourselves know perfectly that what? Come on. The day of the Lord, the one John experienced in Revelation. So cometh as a thief in the night. How many know when a thief comes and breaks in your house, you don't know when he's coming. He's not going to come up and, you know, put a note on your door and say, I'll be here Wednesday night. No, he's going to creep up on you, isn't he? Huh? He's going to come up on you suddenly when you do not expect him. And he said, that's the way the day of the Lord will break out upon this world. Amen? But, look at verse 2, or verse 3. But when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. He said, don't let that day overtake you as a thief like it will some. Why not? Well, let's read. You're all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. And how many know there are Christians sleeping tonight? Huh? Yes. Look in Revelation 3. Hold your place. Revelation 3:1. 3:1. How many know that a person sleeping and a person that's dead looks alike when you look at them? Only one's breathing, one isn't. One's snoring, one isn't, maybe. But from a distance, they look alike. You can't tell the difference. They're in a prone position. Look in chapter 3, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and, come on, isn't that something? He said, you got a name that says you live, but I say you are dead. What an indictment. What a deception they were living in. And I believe there are Christians living in deception today that are sleeping, come on, that are spiritually dead compared to what they could be. Amen? And we all must come alive, come on, and move into life. Isn't that right? And so here's a church totally deceived because they thought they were living. And yet he said in verse 3, look in verse 3, the latter part. If therefore thou shalt not watch, we're talking about the day of the Lord now, I will come on thee as a thief. This is the church now. And thou shalt not know what hour I shall come upon thee, and so forth. You'll not know, he says. Well, if you're dead, how many know you'll not know? You'll be caught unaware. Now, back in chapter 5 of Thessalonians. I want to walk in the light of God. How about you, brethren? Praise God. I want to be a child of the day. Amen? He said in verse 5, you're all children of light. Means sons of light. And sons of the day. We're not of the night, nor of darkness. And how many know the more deliverance we get, the more of the darkness we're going to get out of us? Now, you mean tell you why there's going to be a falling away? Because there's so much darkness in some people. And how many know that spirit's going after that darkness that's in people? Huh? You read the book of Daniel. You can see this. Let me show you something. Hold your place. Go to Daniel. We'll just jump all over this Bible tonight. Daniel. Daniel 11. Praise the Lord God. Hallelujah. Daniel 11:30. Notice what this prophet says. For the ships of Shittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return. And notice, have indignation against the holy covenant. Not a non-holy covenant, a holy covenant. How many know God makes holy covenants? All right, now watch this. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence. How many see that word? Literally, understanding or knowledge with them that do something, that forsake the holy covenant. That is an apostasy right there. Now, to forsake God's covenant and have intelligence with the man of sin, which is psychic power, there's a darkness in people, come on, that the enemy reaches for and says, that's mine, and they're seduced and deceived. Can you hear that? Now look back in chapter 9. Hallelujah. If I can find it. All right, look in verse 22. I want to show you the same word, intelligence, only in a positive way. 9:22. And he informed me and talked with me, this is the angel of the Lord, and said to Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. That's the same word right there. The angel was going to put something in Daniel's brain. Hallelujah. Called understanding and skill that he needed to understand the vision. And yet the man of sin by psychic power will also have that intelligence or that understanding, amen, with someone who forsake God's covenant. And you know that's strong. Now let's go to Revelation 11. Daniel 11. I get Revelation. Look in Daniel 11. Look at verse 32. And here he said, and such as do wickedly against the covenant, Remember he said here, earlier he said the holy covenant. Now he said those that do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. I mean, no, that's a smooth mouth. I mean, no, there's a lot of preachers got smooth mouth. Come on. A lot of people got smooth mouth. It's time to speak the truth in love, amen, and tell the people the truth. It's time to warn the people, amen, to turn from sin, come on, and turn from things you're doing and turn to Jesus. That's all of us. Now, but the people that do know their God shall be strong, come on, do exploits. That word exploits has been put in, but that's all right. They that know their God shall be strong and do. They'll be a doer, amen? Now, look at verse 33, though. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet, and we're talking about the time of the end, yet they shall fall by the sword. Now, if you looked at it in the natural, how many know that would be death to many? But how many know this word is going to judge us as well? And then what else? What's the next one? Come on. A flame. How many know that they may burn your house down or try to burn you up, but the flame can be the Holy Ghost that God's letting you be tested by. Come on, in some ways. And by captivity, that's prison house. And by spoil, they're going to plunder you and take everything you got. And that can not only be physically, but how many know the enemy wants that, what you've got in you? Come on. He wants to take over your temple, amen, and rob you of what's in you. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Now look at verse 34. And when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. We don't need any flattery when we're, come on, going through some testings. Isn't that right? We don't need a smooth mouth. We need somebody to talk to us straight. Amen. Tell us the truth. Verse 35. Some of them of understanding shall fall. Why, what for? To try them, to purge, we'd say purge them, and make them white even to the time of the end because it is an appointed time. How many believe God's people is going to come through the fire? The real people. But they'll go through the fire, won't they? Now look in chapter 12. Chapter 12. Look in verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen which was upon the waters of the river when he held up his right hand, his left hand, to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be of her time, times, and half a time. That's 3.5 years. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Notice, he didn't say unholy people, it said holy people. And what is he going to do? What is this man of sin going to do? What's he going to accomplish? He's going to scatter the power of the holy people. Where do you get your power? From God. And you get it as you wait on the Lord, and as you pray, and as you seek the Lord, and cry out to God. God puts that power in us. Now, we know the gift of God is first free, isn't that right? The Holy Ghost is free. But after you get the Holy Ghost, how many know he wants you to tarry and wait on him? Come on. Live in his presence. But sin stops us from praying. How many know our praying people stop sinning and the sinning people stop praying? And I want to tell you, we're going to have to increase our prayer life in these end times. Amen. I don't want to be scattered. Amen. Another translation says shattered. You ever felt like you're shattered? Look back in chapter 7. Hallelujah. This is now a three-point message tonight. Daniel 7, 21. How many know the war is on? Not with one another, but in the Spirit. 7:21. I beheld and the same horn. Come on. Made war. Well, I thought there's an all in heaven. He made war with the saints that's on the earth, and prevailed against them. You know, John said, overcome them. But I tell you, Daniel gives us hope. Look at the next verse. Come on. How long? They prevailed over until. But thank God. How many know that until is coming to an end? Until what? Until the Ancient of Days came, or Christ comes in a people. And then the judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. That's Revelation 20 right there. And the time came, the same saints, come on, that had been warred against, possessed the kingdom. And how many know you're not going to take the kingdom without warfare? Neither am I. Look at verse 25 now. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. You're talking about a blasphemer. This man of sin is a blasphemer, isn't he? And shall, look at this, wear out the saints of the Most High. Literally, wear them out mentally. How many feel like that sometimes? Be honest. Amen? And things have changed, times and laws. Even our government is doing that. And they shall be given, notice, into his hand until a time, times, and dividing of time. How many preachers are preaching that? How many are telling people they're going to go through some trouble? Hey, it's time to warn the people of God. Warn them. The blood's going to be on our hand if we don't warn the people of God, brethren. I don't want anybody throwing a stone at me and say, you lied to me. You didn't tell me the truth. That's what happened in China. They were looking for the rapture so much, and the commies come in and killed them. I don't know how many was killed. I don't have any idea. But they didn't prepare the people. Now, look at verse 26, I believe it is. But the judgment shall sit, and they, the saints, shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it to the end. I want to tell you, the man of sin will not take over. God's people under Christ will take over. Amen? Hallelujah. Will take over under Christ and with Christ. Praise God. Now go to chapter 8. Go to chapter 8. Praise God. Look in verse 10. And here's talking about this little horn. It waxed great to the host of heaven, cast down some of the hosts and other stars to the ground and stamped upon them. And we know that's also Revelation 12:4. Huh? You know, people say, well, that happened way back there. No, it hasn't happened. It has not yet happened the way it's going to happen. Even Daniel recorded it here. It's going to happen. Notice the phrase here. He stamped upon the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Then in verse 11, notice the latter part. The place of the sanctuary is cast down. The latter part of verse 12, he cast down truth to the ground. You been in any places where the truth's being cast down? Verse 13, the latter part, both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot. And I'll take you to Revelation 11, I think verse 2. Now, look here in chapter 8. Look in verse 23. In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full. Notice, when iniquity is full, when the transgressors have come to their fullness. How many know God's bringing us to his fullness? Satan's bringing the people to his fullness. Amen? At that time, when the fullness of the transgressors is here, he said, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And notice what kind of sentences he understands. It's darkness. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy wonderfully, shall prosper in practice, and shall what? Now look at this verse. Shall destroy who? Mighty and who else?
Holy people.
How many see that? There's going to be some mighty and holy people here destroyed. That word destroy means corrupted. Corrupted. It means they're contaminated. They're corrupted by many ways. It also means to be marred. It means a lot of things. If I went into the word, I've taught a lot of times. You can take this word, for destroy, all the way back to Genesis 6. It's used as corrupt and destroyed there. When God saw the corruption of the people, he destroyed them. The same Hebrew word. All right? But right here in this verse, notice. Watch this again now. What verse did I stop at? Verse 24. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Of course, we know Satan will give him his power. He shall destroy wonderfully, shall prosper practice, and shall destroy or corrupt the mighty and the holy people. Now, he's going to tell us how he's going to do it. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft. That word craft means deceit.
to prosper in his hand, he shall magnify himself in his heart. Look at that old Clyde. And by peace, look at that, shall destroy many. And that word peace means security. It means abundance and prosperity. Now, how many know there is God's prosperity and there is one that's beastly? You just heard what I said. There is prosperity that's from God. And how many know God will prosper his people as we do right, live right, and give right? Isn't that right? But there is a prosperity that's beastly. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, I don't have to get up and preach 52 messages a year on prosperity. How many know that if we walk upright and do what we should, God will prosper us according to this word. He will prosper us. I'm not saying he's going to give us everything we want, but God will prosper you in the whole man. Amen? But here is a counterfeit prosperity. And I believe we see it in America. I believe we see it on the television. I believe we hear it many times. Amen? God knows the hearts. I don't. But I'm telling you, we cannot allow abundance or security or prosperity, the wrong kind, to get a hold of us. Amen? I mean, the love of money is still the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of it. And Peter talked about filthy lucre. He talked about the elders then, 1 Peter 5, and filthy lucre. How many know when money's made, it's not filthy. It's the cleanest thing you got going. It's the way we use it. Come on, our motivation. God help us to have a right motive with money. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen? And how many know we're to give to our God where God tells us to put it and give it in faith. Amen? And do what God tells us to do, each one of us. Praise God. God wants us to be faithful. Come on, in the small things. How many know he'll make us ruler even in the greater things if we can prove ourselves in the smaller things? Isn't that right? Praise God. So now turn to Revelation 12. I'm really jumping off on some other things, but that's all right. I'm just letting the Spirit lead me tonight anyway. We can't tell him how it's going to be done. He's telling us. Revelation 12. Now, here's what I want you to see, that in the time of God clothing his son clothed woman, Revelation 12, that's the bride, the church. I was in Plain Old Texas recently. I was out walking. The Spirit spoke to me to preach on the sun-clothed woman. And it is his bride. And notice here in this scripture, in verse 1, this woman's clothed with the S-U-N. The S-U-N is the S-O-N. You know the S-U-N here is her husband. It is Jesus Christ. She's clothed with Christ. She's clothed with glory. She's clothed with righteousness. She's one who's walking, come on, under the glory of God. And I'll tell you something else. God at this time is approving of this woman. Hallelujah. His bride. Now, you have the family of God. When you come to Christ, how many know that when you come to the Lord, how many know you're part of the family of God? Amen? But you're not part of the bride. I said you're not part of the bride. How many know you have to come into intimacy to be part of this bride? You let husband and wife, you know, there are things you tell your husband and wife that you don't tell other people. Come on, amen? There are things, you know, in the bedroom that you have an intimacy with that you don't have with other people. And so that's where it is in the spirit, amen? But how many know out of the bride will come the sons? And each one of these groups are important in God's tribe, okay? But I'm not going to get into that tonight because that's pretty heavy. It's all right. We like to preach it. But this woman's clothed with the son. And so forth. Now, here's what I'm going to show you. At the time of God raising up the bride of Christ, this woman, and of the man-child, the overcomers coming forth out of the soul of the womb of the church, at that time, listen, at that critical time, stars are fallen from heaven. You heard that. At the time of God raising up a bride, and there's an intimacy with this bride, to bring forth this man-child, these overcomers, at that time zone, there's a people falling out of the spirit realm back into the carnal, earthly realm. Look at it in verse 4. Hallelujah. And you know what the Lord spoke to me in Plano? He said there are four churches right here. You know what he told me? There's the church, listen, there's the sun church, the bride. There's a man-child church. There's the moon church. And the bride has come out of that old moon church, that old order. And then he said, there is Satan's church, the synagogue of Satan. How many's ever read that in the book of Revelation? Because he was the one opposing her right here. Satan, not only through the religious organizations, but through the world governments as well. Who just heard me? Now look at verse 4. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them where? Into the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman that was ready to be delivered to devour, literally eat up her child as soon as it was born. Now, notice he's standing before the woman. He stands right before the bride. He's not after her. He wants the one, come on, she's bringing forth. So at the time of this bride being raised up, getting ready to give birth, the stars are going to fall from heaven. There's going to be an apostasy. All right, look in 2 Thessalonians. Jesus, I don't want to see anybody fall. How about you, brethren? And I don't want to fall. God help us not to fall. I mean, no pride will bring us down. We must humble ourselves before the Lord, all of us. Now look at this verse, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming. The word coming is parousia. By the coming. I mean, there's many words for his coming or his appearing, but there are three major words that I study on. It's parousia. The word parousia means presence, but it also means bodily touchdown. Not only does the word mean presence, like you're in a person's presence, but it means a physical presence as well. I could show you in the scripture. And then secondly, there's the word apocalypses that John received in Revelation 1:1, where he said the revelation of Jesus Christ. It means an appearing, a coming, or a manifestation. And then there is the word epiphania. It is the word appearing or the word brightness, where it says right here in this chapter, he'll destroy this man of sin with the brightness or the appearing of his parousia or his coming. Okay, look in verse 1. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by what? Our gathering together unto who? Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Have you come together around Glenn, Irma, Bill Gibson, Tommy Cook, Candidates? No. I mean, no, we're here around Jesus. Now, together is fine, but how many know that not all gatherings is of the Holy Ghost? If we're not gathered unto the Lord, it's wrong. Isn't that right? But our gathering is under the headship, come on, and lordship and the authority of Jesus. Isn't that right? And I believe that's what Jesus said when two or three are come together in his name. You're actually led together by the Holy Spirit under the authority, headship and lordship of Jesus. And something will happen. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. And so there is a gathering together unto him. Now look in Hebrews 10. Hold your place. 10:25. Now we talk about the day of the Lord. Look at this verse. 10:25. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now that might for some be every Sunday or every Wednesday or whatever. Or maybe sporadic, But he said, don't forget to assemble together. Amen? As the manner of some is. What's he saying there? Some are not gathering together. Isn't that right? But exhorting one another. And how many know you can't exhort somebody if you're here in the fellowship with the other people in their home? Can you exhort them? Unless you got a loud voice. And so much the more as you see what? Come on. What day are we talking about? The day of the Lord. As you see the day of the Lord approaching, he said, don't forsake that assembling. And let it be even more. Again, that's under the headship, lordship, and government of Christ, I believe. Praise God, the authority of Christ. But we have to see that that is going to be done. Amen? Okay, back here in chapter 2 now. Notice what he says. In verse 2. Usually when I go into this, I go into the Greek words, different things, especially in the local fellowship. It's different. You have a blackboard and you go into a lot of different words. But in verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by a spirit or word or letter. As from us, as if the day of Christ is at hand. There were those who actually saying here in Paul's day that the day of Christ had taken place. They were actually writing letters. Now, I mean, when we get shook up in our mind, don't we? That word mind there is nous, N-O-U-S in the Greek. And so he said three ways that we can be shaken or trouble by a spirit. How many know that's a wrong spirit? That's a demon spirit. 1 Timothy 4:1 calls seducing spirits to take people from the faith. And then what's the next word besides spirit there, huh? Who's got your Bibles open, huh? Word. That's the Logos. Even that which is preached. If it's not the Spirit, how many know it can shake you the wrong way? Come on. And three, by letter. That which you get in the mail. You ever get any letters in the mail you don't like? You just... Read Nehemiah 6. There was a letter sent to Nehemiah to put him in fear. There's a lot of letters and a lot of things going through the mail. I mean, we got all these personal prophecies in the mail at times. People don't know you and they got a prophecy for you. I mean, you better chuck that thing. They want your $500 and give you a prophecy that, and they don't even know you. I mean, no, that's deception. God will judge it. Can you say amen? And we need to judge it. And we need to write it back, write back to them and tell them we don't want to be on their mailing list. All right, look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. What means? Those three means. Spirit, word, and letter. Yes. For that day shall not come. That day shall not come. That day. What day is it? What day is it? The day of the Lord. That day will not come. It will not come, Paul said, except what? Number one, what is it? A falling away first. And number two, what is? Man of sin be what? Revelation. Somebody said, well, I'm not looking for Antichrist. I'm looking for Christ. Well, so am I. But let me tell you something. Antichrist will be revealed before Christ is revealed out there. You hear what I said? Now, the old teaching is Jesus comes and takes us off, and then the man of sin rises up. And I want to tell you that's not true. Right here, it's against that. He said the day of Christ will not come except there is the apostasy and the man of sin be revealed, the man of perdition. Notice the word revealed. Now, look down to verse 6. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be what? Revealed when? Come on. In his time. Then in verse 8, and then shall the wicked be revealed. There, the word reveal means to uncover or disclosure. How many believe God's going to uncover everything of darkness in this hour? I believe it, don't you? Now verse 3 clearly shows us that the day of Christ will not take place until those two things happen. Now we have some brethren today who are teaching this word falling away is the rapture. Everybody heard that? I want to tell you, you look in the Greek, it's not rapture. You know what the word means? It means defection from the truth. You hear what I said? Defection from the truth. People who had adhered to truth, now turning from it. Paul said, have I become your enemy, told the Galatians? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He said at one time, you'll receive me as Jesus Christ or an angel. You'd plucked out your eyes for me. Remember that? Let's look at this. Look at 2 Timothy 4, is it? Hold your place there. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine or teaching, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having, come on, itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. They don't want the truth. I mean, you can call for a bean supper and you get a house full. You call, come on, for anointed ministers to come in and preach the truth. I mean, or a prayer meeting, and you're not going to get too many sometimes. I've been there. I know it's true. One man had a church of 2,800 one time. Guess how many showed up for prayer meeting most of the time? About 28 people. How many know that was a real church? Don't shout me then. It's true. We need to pray. I don't mean we have to come just to the church to pray. We pray wherever we are. But we need to spend time with God. Back here in Thessalonians. Hallelujah. Let's see what this man of sin is doing. Verse 4. He's opposing and he's exalting himself above all that's called God. How many's got something between your ears called imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God at times? How many's ever read in Romans 8 where there's something called enmity, which means to oppose or to be hostile or actually literally hates God? That's the carnal mind. How many of there's one in us that literally hates God? That's a carnal mind, which exalts and opposes. That's in us, but how many know there's a spirit out there in that world too? How many know we're up against the spirit of Antichrist today? Our flesh is Antichrist, whether you believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. Who opposeth and exalteth himself. Now, when Satan fell, did he oppose God? Huh? Did he exalt himself above God? He said that in Isaiah 14, didn't he? And what was the result of that? There was an apostasy in heaven. The first rebellion was not on earth, it was in heaven. And then the second apostasy I'm thinking about was in when Manasseh was king. You know what he did? He brought a carved idol or image into the house of God where God's name was. Remember that? And you know what the scripture said? He seduced God's people. That idol was opposing and exalting itself to be God. Amen? Against the true and the living God. And the Bible said there was an apostasy among the people of God. They fell away. And now at the end of the age, same thing is happening. There's one sitting in the temple opposing and exalting himself against God. And the result will be an apostasy right in the house of God. Who can hear that? Humanism, anyway, no matter what you call it, humanism or, you know, whatever. I mean, it's there. It's here. It's right here in God's house. Amen? Look in Revelation with me. Hallelujah. Revelation 2. Look at verse 13. Now, the Lord's speaking to a church here. He said, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's throne or seat is. Let me see that. He's talking to a church. He's talking to a church where the throne of Satan was. And then he says, notice, and thou holdest fast my name, hast not denied my faith, even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Well, how many churches has Satan come in and took over? Look in Psalm 74. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalm 74. How many know it's time to kick Satan out of the church?
Amen.
Let Jesus be Lord in the church. Psalm 74. God is really in verse 1. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? And then the Lord begins to tell him in verse 3. Well, he says, lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the... Where's the sanctuary today? It's right here, isn't it? We are the sanctuary of God today. Now, we call this the sanctuary because we've set it apart for the Lord, but this is the sanctuary. Amen. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their end signs for signs. Notice, the enemy has signs. We have some too. Exit and bathroom. We need some signs. Come on, following the word. Amen. A man was famous according as he lifted up axes upon the thick trees. I want to tell you, the devil's got a chainsaw and he wants to cut us down. Now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire. Here's a false fire. Here's a false anointing. And I'm going to tell you, you ain't seen no false miracles compared to what you're going to see in just the days ahead. You read 2 Thessalonians 2, Revelation 19, Revelation 13, Revelation 16, Matthew 24. There is coming false signs, brethren. If it were possible, it would deceive the very elect of God. How many have ever read that? I mean, no, we don't have all the discernment that we think we have. We don't have it all yet. Come on now. There's a lot more we don't see. We all got blind sides. We need one another. Amen. To protect each other. Somebody say amen. I need you and you need me. They have cast fire into the sanctuary. This is a false anointing. And there are false anointings. It looks and sounds like the real, doesn't it? Come on, don't shout me down now. Are we too tired to hear this word tonight? They have defiled by casting down thy dwelling place of thy name to the ground. Look at verse 8. They burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. God's synagogues have been burned up. Amen? Don't let the devil burn your synagogue up. Come on, with that false anointing. We see not our signs. There's no more prophets. Listen, God's got prophets. And how many know when you need a prophet, God will send him to you. Don't go looking for him. Probably people today, you go into an era and you prophesy. I mean, man, if they know you're going to come to prophesy, you've got a house full. But what they don't know is when you give them a true word, they're going to get in the fire. Come on, the true word of the Lord will put you in the fire, in the problem. Amen. If you want to get in the fire, come on out and get your prophecy. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. Don't misunderstand me. We need prophetic words. But how many know all true prophetic words put you in the fire? How many know that by experience? Amen? Every word that I've ever received that I knew that was from God put me in the fire. But how many know it brought blessings too? Praise God. They said, we see not our signs. There's no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. You ever been in the situation where you said, oh, God, how long? Huh? Mm-hmm. Now, the enemy's blaspheming, verse 10, verse 11. Why withdrawest thou thy hand? Even which hand is it? Come on. What is that right hand? The hand of what? Authority. Amen? Power. Why, God, are you withdrawing your right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom. Where did Jesus come out of? The bosom of the Father. And how many know we're out of Him? What am I saying? How long is this going to go on? Till God raises up our right-hand ministry called the man-child. Now we got the brethren saying today we're right in the middle of the latter rain. God is moving in some places. But I'm here to tell you, we ain't in the middle of the latter rain. Anybody want to get there, though? If we're in the middle of the latter rain, how many know it'd be different tonight? How many believe that? Praise God. Back in Thessalonians, we'll bring to an end here. I got a lot more I could say. Praise God. I want to take a swipe at verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 2. How many know most people preach the rapture here? How many study in your Greek? How many's got Greek helps at home? Huh? Not very many. How many know we need some Greek and Hebrew helps? Helps, I'm saying. I don't think we have to become a nut, you know. Unless we've been to school and learned the languages and so forth. Somebody said, I know Greek, he lives down the street, and Hebrew guy lives up the other street. But here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness, Paul said, doth already work. Notice the word work, and then look in verse 9. He said, this coming of this man of sin is after the working. The word is energeo. You know what that means? It's an energy from Satan, energized by Satan's power. And if you look at verse 9, look at the word power. How many see that word power and signs? That word power is dunamis. How many know there's a false dunamis? The word dunamis for the Holy Ghost power that we know in the New Testament used 120 times in the New Testament, and there was 120 in where? In the upper room. How many know that for 10 days they've rubbed each other the right way? Come on. And got in one accord. Amen. They didn't have right guard and foo-foo, but they were there together. Hallelujah. And God moved. As they sat, something set on them called tongues of fire. Hallelujah. Now, look at this verse 7. I want to get through it now. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. Let me see the word taken there. That word taken is used various ways in the New Testament 677 times. That's a lot of times, isn't it? It's only used as taken one time. But it's used many other ways. It means to become something or come into being is what the word means. And you know, he's given us the power to become the sons of God. So it means to become or come into being. It also is the word made. Jesus was made under the law, right? And of the woman. Galatians 4:4. Now, in the Greek, it does not say taken. What is most people thinking when you say the word taken here? Come on. Rapture. Rapture. The word is this in the Greek. Ek mesus genete. Out of midst birth. It is kin to a word that birthed something. John 9:1. How many know there was a man born, he was blind from his birth. There's your word, genete. Okay? It is a word birthing. So it's something being born. It's something coming in the midst of humanity, not leaving the scene. Because what does verse 8 say? What does verse 8 say? Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume, come on, with the spirit of his mouth, that's his breath, and shall destroy, literally annihilate, with the brightness of the epiphania of his coming, his parousia, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because, here's why, they receive not the love of the truth. None of us have all the truth, but we can have the love. God can put a love of truth, for truth in us, that they might be saved. Now, look at verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them what? Who's going to send it? That they should believe, it should be in the Greek, right in your Bible, the lie. That's what the Greek says, the lie. That they should believe the lies. Used four times in the New Testament. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Praise God. Jesus is coming, brethren. Let's don't let the enemy slip in. Amen? And deceive us. Let's get the darkness out. Get deliverance in those areas that we need help. Let the light flow in. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Don't allow apostasy to take hold of your temple. And I want to encourage you to stay in the book. Okay? We had this thing in Bible college. I didn't go through the book. The book went through me. We need this book in us. Amen? We've got to eat of this book, and we've got to spend time with God. Spend time also in fellowship with people. God's people. Amen? Let's stand. May the Lord bless you. Praise Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Let's praise Him tonight. Amen? Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you again tonight for your word. It is truly a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our pathway. Father God, we ask that you keep each one of us from falling. Preserve us, Lord God, for the day of the Lord. Keep us, O God, in your mighty hand. Cover us with your covering, Lord. Put your hand over us and upon us, Lord. Let not a one in this place be lost, Lord God. Lord Jesus, oh, Father. Father God, forgive us if we strayed, Lord, from you. Lord, if we've gotten cold. Lord, we've turned, Lord, from that warm glow and that hot Christian to a mediocre or cold Christian. Father, we ask forgiveness. We ask you to restore us, Father, to that place, Father God. Oh, Lord, where the fire of God is still burning within us, Lord. Oh, Lord, the time of prayer, the seasons of prayer is upon us, Lord, in the daytime, in the night, Lord God. The Psalms of God, Lord, we sing the Psalms of God. And, Lord, the enlightenment of the Word is still, Lord, fresh upon us, Lord. Oh, Father, oh, help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, as a people to draw nigh. Oh, forgive us of our slackness. Forgive us, Lord God, of not exercising faith toward you. Oh, God, we pray. Wash us in your precious blood. We thank you for this word. We seal it, Lord God, by your precious name and by your blood, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, warn your people across America and across the world that they might stand in this day, Lord, in this hour. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Wingate, I just feel the Lord is touching you and strengthening you tonight in your body, and the Lord is with you. He's around not only you, but He's around your circumstances. And God is leading out and leading you out, leading you in. And in His presence is fullness of joy. And the Lord said there's coming new joy and new direction in your heart and in your life in the days ahead. So the Lord says, just rest in the Lord and know that He's with you, and that the word that He's given you is of Him, and it shall be a blessing to many for this hour. And hold not back, the Lord says, but be thou faithful, my son. Speak the truth. Speak it in love, and you shall see truly the results. Amen. Let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sister Mary, I see the Lord there. He said that He's with you tonight, and that you are strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And God said you have not deviated from the left to the right. And you have stayed the course. And because of that, there's been some persecution. But God said, I am with thee. And I shall lead thee even in the days ahead. So fear not and fret not. Know that the Lord is your high tower. He's your strength. And He does overshadow thee with His canopy. Hallelujah. His covering. And His covering shall shield thee. It shall keep thee from the evil one, saith God. And as you walk humbly before the Lord, God shall bring revelation and truth to your heart that you shall be able to share with others. And others shall know me in this time and this day. And yea, it should be a blessing to the young ones also that you teach, the Lord says. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Amen? Come on, let's praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Praise your name, Lord God. We worship, we praise. We worship, we praise. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, amen, Lord. Hallelujah, amen. What the Lord has joined together, let not man put asunder. For surely the Lord is your high tower. The Lord is your shield and your buckler this night. Know that God goes before thee. He breaks down the strongholds that's been set against thee. Yea, know that the Lord's angels have went before thee and shall go before thee. Yea, saith the Lord, for as you fear the Lord, and as you walk upright before me, know that I shall not withhold any good thing from thee in this hour, saith the Lord. And even though the struggles have been, and the testings and the trials have been hot, know that God has allowed it, saith the Lord, but I, the Lord, shall now bring thee forth. And thou shalt speak a new word, a word of encouragement and strength to the people of God that I send thee to. And others shall marvel, know of the anointing that shall rest upon thee. For that anointing shall set men free in this hour. So go forth, yea, go forth in my name. And I shall anoint thy tongue with the coals of fire, saith the Lord. And thy feet shall walk through fire, and thou shalt not be consumed. And thou shalt move into the blessing of the Lord. For surely thou hast been faithful, and I am the faithful one in thee, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. Let's praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we lift up also these other ministries that are coming yet, Lord. We pray for them. God, that they'll come with the word of the Lord to this place. And for Jack and Carol as they minister tomorrow morning and others, Lord, tomorrow. We lift them up, Father God. Brother and Sister Coffee, Lord, and Bill and all the others here, Lord God. We lift them up, Father. Ask that you help them. Lord, we ask you touch Ermine Glenn tonight. Again, Lord, strengthen their bodies, Lord God, and meet the needs of this campground, Lord, spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you for leading us out and leading us in, Father. We believe you're with us in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless. God love you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.